Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready for more propaganda? Well, you're in the wrong place at the right time. Columbo Chronicles is for critical thinkers. Let's welcome the consumer advocate for justice. Here's the Rose, Rose Columbo.
Hi, everyone. It's the Rose, Rose Columbo, right here for you on Columbo Chronicles every Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. here on the west coast of California.
The Justice Club is back on Columbo Chronicles live podcast. Join Rose Columbo at noon and find out what tips she will provide in a world of little justice.
Columbo Chronicles Live. Columbo is on their trail. Listen up at Columbo Chronicles Live.
That's right. Listen up because we have a dynamic show for you, just like we do every week. And we're very fortunate today to have a wonderful guest. And you are going to enjoy everything she has to say. So get a pen and a paper, a pencil out, or a pen and paper, and you may want to write some notes down a little bit later on in the show. And let me tell you a little bit about our guest. We'll be coming up soon. Her name is Joyce Alexander Black. She is a native of Southern California, and she holds a master's degree in clinical psychology, and she's a coach and a hypotherapist specializing in individual couples, family therapy. And she works internationally from London to Los Angeles. Her records are on iTunes, but her name in and you will find her 7 records on Relationship Communications coming out in September. So if you would like to be on her list, please email her. Her her website is www.joycealexanderblack.com. So write that down because you won't want to miss anything she has to say, because it's important for us to love ourselves, and it's important to heal ourselves and forgive others and forgive ourselves so we can have a brighter day and a brighter tomorrow and a brighter life. And on part two on the Justice Club, we're going to talk about empty wallets. What is empty wallets? Well, it's about inflation and how the hypocrisy coming from the White House does not match our empty wallets. And our empty wallets means higher prices for the cost of living to pay a reasonable amount for gasoline and water, electricity, housing, food, childcare, and so forth. But now it's 2 or 3 times higher the cost, and people are struggling. So we'll be talking about that as well. And we're going to have our very special guest join us, and I'll tell you a little bit more about her in just a moment. But first, let's take a break, and we'll come back and enter into the world of authors and experts.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you. But some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure. Be sure to bring your appetite.
Obamasaurus, the new book by Rose M. Colombo, is an updated version of a political satire that reflects the political roadmap of today's world. Written with an Orwellian twist, will humanity survive or suffer depopulation or extinction? Obamasaurus by Rose M. Colombo, available at Amazon.com.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
That's right. Listen up, because we're about to enter into the world of authors and experts with our very special guest, Joyce Alexander Black. You will not want to miss what she has to share with you, because a lot of people believe that everyone loves themselves, but not everybody does love themselves. And everybody doesn't love everyone else. So we're going to find out all about that. Joyce Alexander Black is a native of Southern California. She holds a master's degree in clinical psychology with a pre-med background. She specializes in individual, couple, and family therapy and coach working with organizations such as the YMCA, child fostering services, schools, hospices, training, working with adults and couples. She has training in NLP master practitioner, as well as hypnotherapist and stress managerial coach. She has worked at Disney, Paramount, NBC, ABC, Universal Studios, and more. She has worked and lived internationally between London, England, and Los Angeles, California. She's been awarded the prestigious Irwin International Writers Award, and she's been published in two books, Chopped Liver and The Spirit of David, and she is working on a book that we are going to be talking about and find out when that book will be coming out, so we can all look forward to that. And so let's enter into the world of authors and experts now and say hello to our wonderful guest. Hi, Joyce. How are you doing today?
Hi, Rose. Great. How are you doing?
I'm great. It's a beautiful day out here in California, and one more day above the ground is always a good day, right?
Always, always, always. So thank you for the intro. It was lovely, and it's always wonderful to be on your show. You know, you bring up so many different comments about people, and you know, we live in a time right now where everything is questionable. Things are not normal, and what happens is people are holding a lot of anger. You know, whether you're pro-vaccine or not, you know, or anti-vaccine or whatever it is, you know, we just went through something that never has happened. And why are we not talking about like what effects that has, the aftermath of all the stress of being locked down? And I think it's coming out in the way people are acting to total strangers. And I'm appalled when I go to a grocery store and people are just so angry because they don't have a place to like put it out. So here's a person who's working at, let's say, Ralph's, a very innocent person, let's say made a little tiny mistake that could be corrected. Oh my God, the rages that are coming out. And I'm not hearing people say, I'm sorry. Now, a lot of times in England, I mean, I have to say, they say I'm sorry a little bit too much. You know, someone will knock you and the person who's knocked will say, oh, I'm sorry. And I'm like, come on, she knocked you. Well, but it's England, you know, you must say, I'm sorry, because they're embarrassed that they did that. I'm like, are you sure about that?
Well, you have an interesting point here, because people don't have a lot of smiles on their faces. And part of that is because a lot of people lost loved ones, like I lost my mother in February. And so a lot of people are, you know, angry at even Dr. Fauci, let's say, or at the government and the CDC and the WHO and the lockdown. There is so much going on that people resent, because they also lost their businesses, their homes, their education, and doctors said they were threatened with their licenses if they spoke out. And so that's a lot of anger, right?
A lot. And how about the fact that we've been just Fauci, you know, don't wear masks. Oh, well, the reason I said that was because I didn't want the people working in hospitals not to have them. But you know what? How about say, grab a scarf? There's so many options. Now, I'm not saying it's right, because there's so many people saying you shouldn't wear it, you should wear it. I'm not saying that what you should or shouldn't, but when we don't know and you think the safest thing is to cover people's mouths so they're not coughing on you, well, if you're worried about the masks for the doctors, how about saying that? I mean, there's so many things that happen there, but to taking it to today, what happens, it's like post-traumatic stress disorder. It's something that happened a long time ago, over 30 days, and then keep on reliving it and rethinking it. And many people are having a very difficult time with how to process all this. And it's not like, okay, now we're done. And I think that's part of the other problem is then they're worried about, as you were talking about a moment ago, the gasoline prices. Then there's food prices. Then there's housing issues and how much homeless there is. And you look at the gun issues. You know, it's like, it's just really out of hand. And there's no plan. There's not like, okay, there's a plan. This is what we're going to do with the homeless. This is what we're going to do with mental health. So then what happens is you're carrying all this around and you go to, you know, again, whether it's a Ralph's or a gas station, or maybe it's, you know, a maid or somebody who's maybe not going to talk back, or it's a husband or wife. And then a lot of marital issues, because what are you doing with the anger? So sometimes what's really good is just when you feel angry to acknowledge, I'm feeling angry, and then go and hit a pillow and say, you know, and just, you know, curse, scream, get it out. In my stress management recording I have on iTunes, it's one of the things that I say is write. I'm a real strong advocate for writing, but some people don't like it. I write every morning, and when I don't, I really pay the price, because it's a way to express. And almost every time I am shocked by what was going on. And sometimes I actually say, wow, I'm actually smarter than I thought I was. I didn't realize I thought that way. And it's like, when you write, get in touch with like your soul and your spirit. And don't worry about like the spelling. There's no spelling errors. There's no teacher there. You just write to get it out. And it's amazing, because once you write, you have an outlet. And I think what's the problem is people are not using outlets. And like, for example, it doesn't have to be a husband or a wife, or a wife and a husband, or a male and a male, or female, could be brother, sister, any relationship, could be work related. And if somebody is having this problem with somebody in the office, then where are they taking it? Who are they taking it to?
Right. One of the things I learned when I was young was I used to write, like you said, but then I mailed an angry letter, and afterwards I regretted it. So I learned not to mail angry letters, because then I had to say, I'm sorry. So I think, you know, writing and venting is great, but what I learned is don't send that letter. Put it down, save it for a few days, and rethink it. Right?
Yeah. What I do in my recording, I say it like this. Write it all out. Use curse words. Do whatever you want. Call them, you know, banana face, whatever you need. Write it out. Then once you have it out, tear it up. Then write it again from scratch. Then write it and write it and write it until there's one sentence. Because I think I said one sentence. I'm not sure. But you write it till you get it out. Sometimes people just want to like tear it up, because the physical idea of tearing it really makes them feel good. And you find a different way to do it. But what happens is it's a release. Because let's say, mm-hmm. for example, you have an issue with a sister and you're really angry because she took your shoes, right? And you said, I'm really upset. She's like, I'm sorry, but she ruined it. It's like, well, what do you want me to do? Well, you know, buy a new pair. Well, I'm not working, so I can't. And then it's become something else. And what do you do with that anger? So there's ways to get it out. And then once you write it out and you call her all the curse words and you do whatever you need to, when you finally finish will be when you say, I just want to let you know my feelings were really hurt and I feel disrespected. And I'm wondering if you could make a payment plan and whatever it is, just pay me at that amount. Otherwise, I'm a little bit concerned that I'll never trust you again. And then you negotiate.
Now, one of the questions, I'm sorry, but Joyce, one of the questions I wanted to ask you is, okay, so when somebody hurts your feelings, those words are hurtful. And I've always said sometimes it's worse than somebody flogging you because the words almost are embedded in your heart and mind and recorded in your brain. And even though you're not thinking about it consciously, it seems like a lot of times it doesn't go away. So do you believe that when people hurt your feelings, especially someone we trusted, like a husband or a brother or sister or a mother or father, somebody close to us, do you think that that relationship is ever the same again?
You know, you're talking about the level of forgiveness also. And, you know, different people have different ways to forgive. And, you know, it's like, if you think about raising a child, do you want to raise this child to learn forgiveness, or do you want to raise this child to hold on to negative feelings? One of the things that I found when I was single, it was amazing how many people said, oh, I wouldn't go out with that guy. Or, you know, when you're like 20 years old, you drop so many different guys, right? Did you have that experience?
Absolutely.
And then what happens is like, oh, okay, now there's a new age group, 30. And then as you go in life, you get different experiences. But what happens is that in my experience is that most people don't know what they're looking for and what a good guy or a good woman is. And then they let them go. And then later in life say to themselves, you know, maybe I was premature about that. Like, I remember I was dating this guy, a very nice guy. And I had one date with him and he taught me some really nice things about life, really good character. But he put a Tic Tac in his mouth and he tried to kiss me. I started laughing like, you seriously are not going to kiss me? Like, hello, if you're going to do that, don't make me see it. You know, it's just like the things that, you know, I remember my girlfriend, really great guy. She broke up with a guy because he had red shoes and she hates red shoes. I mean, there's things that you just, I think what it does is it evolves you as a person to go, they're not perfect. We're not perfect. So how do we, what is negotiable? What isn't? What can I live with? What can I forgive? And for me, I can just say this. I've had to go through some very difficult times in my life. And some people have done some really, really not such nice things. And I have to say to myself, did they do this on purpose? No. Did they know better? No. Did they have other tools and options? Well, they might have, but not well enough or they would have used them. So most people are not into hurting someone for no reason. Usually people hurt other people because they're hurt. Or what happens is, one of my favorite therapists would say, if something is repeated 3 times or more, usually mean it's a core event in your childhood. So when you have something that keeps on hurting you in the same way, if you don't go to the core, it's like re-injuring the same thing. So the easy thing is get rid of the person, really good person. And I think maybe what the Tic Tac guy did was taught me that that he taught me that, you know, we're all imperfect human beings, and we're all pretty much trying our best. And what I find is, like, so many people lately are just not saying they're sorry. And one of the things I do know about, you know, when going to England and everyone's saying they're sorry for everything, like, it's ridiculous, but it really is. But what I realize is it's also like it's not to say I'm sorry, like, not authentically, saying it authentically. And what I find is people who really want to say, I'm really sorry, you know, I did this or I did that. And what happens is it's like, I'm sorry, like, you know, the sister borrowing the shoes and ruining it. I'm sorry. Okay, well, you don't really expect me to pay for it. Well, actually, I do. Now, that's never happened to me, but I'm just saying, like, that kind of thing. There's a point in where our life, we have to forgive, and we have to understand we're imperfect human beings too. And if we could get used to saying, I'm sorry, and I'm not saying, like, say, oh, I'm sorry, and that's it. But how about if someone's hurting, just say, I'm sorry that what I said or did hurt you. I never meant to hurt you. That's not owning that if somebody else is hurt. It's they have to deal with their triggers. They have to deal with their reasons that they're feeling upset. That has nothing to do with you unless you did something really bad. But like if you just did something small or they had an issue with how you said something, that's on them. But you could say you're sorry for, you know, for them feeling bad for what you did or didn't do or said or didn't say. And this way, there's like a breath. It's like a person can breathe.
Do you also feel, though, like it's more hurtful when somebody says, I'm sorry, but that you know and feel in your heart and mind they aren't sorry, they're just saying it because it's just, you know, just to maybe appease you or whatever, you know, and move on. But in your heart and mind, you know they don't mean it. What about that kind of I'm sorry?
Well, that goes back to the authentic self, like the writing and then getting to the end part of it. Something's really bothering you or somebody, you can't just erase it. You can't just walk it away. But what you can do is say to yourself, okay, this isn't a good time to talk because I'm feeling very reactive and I'm going to say or do something that I shouldn't do. So once you calm yourself down, and writing is excellent, then you could just say, you know, when you did this, I appreciate that you said you're sorry. And that, you know, is a really nice thing to say. And then you say to yourself, what do I want? What don't I want? Let's say, example, the shoes. What I want is them to pay. I understand they don't have a job. Okay. Or I understand they can't afford to pay, let's say it was $1,000 pair of shoes. You know, what's reasonable? Let's say $100. Okay. I would like you to pay $10 a month. I mean, it depends. You have to look at what is really affordable to this person and something that will be authentically, you know, honorable to yourself, and have a conversation. And I think what happens is people get reactive too fast. And then if one person gets reactive, the other person says, well, you got reactive first. So then that goes nowhere good. That's a tit for tat. It will always go downhill. Well, when someone gets reactive, if the other person says, hang on a second, I'm feeling like I need a little break. I'll be back in 10 minutes. You're not blaming. You're not shaming. You're not accusing. You're not making the other person feel bad. They may go, well, wait a second. I want to talk. I totally get you, do. I'm just feeling like I might say or do something that could hurt you. And I need to just kind of figure out what's happening with me. I'll be back in 10 minutes or say 15 minutes and come back in 10 minutes. Never go longer. And then just say, you know, I felt hurt because I felt dismissed or unimportant or whatever you feel. Does that make sense?
So it's easy to get into a heated conversation or argument with somebody over saying, you know, over the words, I'm sorry, if you don't use the tools that you're providing. I remember my friend and I, best friend, got into a heated conversation one time, and we're talking about the Bible and God, and she said something like, well, I don't know God, or something like that. And I said, yeah, that's just it. You don't know God. And we both got real silent, and we both busted up laughing. And we forgot all about it. We were best friends again. And I think laughter helps a lot, too, when you realize how ridiculous your conversation is.
I love that. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, how many people in relationship, right? First of all, let's normalize. Anybody in a marriage is going to have, you know, marital issues because they're your mirror. That's the point, is if you, and usually we marry people, and here's the hard digestive part, we marry people to help us heal our issues with one or both of our parents or siblings. And so they have the exact same same problems that we had with that person. And our hope is if we can fix that relationship we have with our spouse, then we can have a much more joyful, peaceful, loving life. And when it doesn't work, it's like blaming the other rather than saying, okay, well, how can I, like people say, you know, well, that person should go first, you know, and it's like, well, are we in kindergarten or are we working from a place of being adults and saying, okay, it doesn't matter who goes first.
Hello?
Eventually, you know, we hope and we pray that they'll, you know, do it, they'll follow in suit and do it as well. But we can only do our part. And if we have the consciousness to say, I need to say I'm sorry, then it's okay. Then do it. And I want to tell you something very interesting. I've been Googling like people who agree or disagree with saying I'm sorry. I cannot believe, to my surprise, I've actually found professors saying people who say they're, who don't say they're sorry, people who think very little of themselves. And people who say they are sorry think very highly of themselves. Now that I totally like and I totally agree with. Then there's this one professor who wrote this book on people who say they're sorry have low self-esteem. And I'm thinking, did you seriously just say that? I mean, what do you think you just told the whole world? Don't say you're sorry. How ridiculous is that? And what happens also is people will read something and say, oh, well, this person is a doctor, a lawyer, an accountant, a therapist, or whatever. They, you know, they know, they've done their research, they know, but they don't. We're all human beings. Some of us know better, some of us don't. You know, it's like some people see doctors who say, get an operation, and some people say, don't have the operation.
Exactly. And that's the great thing about America is always maintaining free choice and free will, which goes back to what you were saying with what happened in 2019 and going forward to today, is that all of this confusion over our what used to be private medical information through the internet now made it public information on whether or not we can even get a vaccination because of the allergies that a lot of millions of people are allergic to certain chemicals and they don't know the reaction to an experimental injection or even a licensed injection until they've already been injected. And then they find out. And maybe, you know, millions don't have it, but then there's that percentage that do. And so all of a sudden, the whole world is believing that they have, including the government, that they have the right to violate your privacy and to know if you've been vaccinated or been used to to stand in line for that experimental injection, or if you or anything about your medical history or your employer or anybody else, because in the past it was always protected by the HIPAA laws and you had privacy. And this, the internet, it appears, created a lot of the problems of people being stressed out and fearful of each other and divided and striking out. And ask strangers. I saw it in the post office and the grocery stores, asking strangers their private medical information that's nobody's business. So if you said no, that person may actually attack you. I saw someone in the post office verbally attack a person next to her because she wasn't wearing a mask. So, I mean, going back to what you said, that anger should also have never have happened, in my opinion, because it's really nobody's business what your medical decisions are based on free will and free choice in America. And I think that opening up that floodgate created a lot of these problems. And so what you're saying today is so important on actually taking responsibility for ourselves rather than trying to impose your beliefs on somebody else that actually should be private, especially on strangers. And so how do you think that people can actually learn to respect other people in when you look at the internet and what's happening with all this bashing going on and people saying, you know, it's should be public information, and other people are saying, no, that's my private medical and health information that I care to keep private. So this opened up a whole can of worms of anger. How do people cope with all of that?
Well, absolutely. I want to say, and you are so wise saying all the things, you're so, you know, well-informed, and I really appreciate that. And I love having chats with you because you are really, you know, someone who knows what they're talking about, and I appreciate that. But there's something else. I don't know if you know, of course, something else I found out kind of like through a friend of a friend who's doctors and nurses. So catch this. There weren't enough people, right, to give the vaccine. There weren't enough doctors and nurses because they're busy in the ICU, right? So there's,
right. I said right.
Hello? Yeah.
Hello, can you hear me?
They did. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Good. So what they did is they gave these jobs to people who are not doctors and nurses. And this is what I heard. So, like, don't quote me that it's for sure, but this is what I've heard. And I do believe it's true that there was a lot of jobs needed and they didn't have enough medical staff. So if you're a doctor or nurse, you're allowed to give a needle where you pull it back and then you know, make sure there's no air and then you give the vaccine. If you're not a nurse or doctor, you can give the vaccine, but you don't pull it back. Now, if you don't pull it back, then there's other problems. That's one of the reasons people were tasting metal in their mouth. And I was just doing a lot of talking to different people saying, well, who are all these people giving vaccines away, you know, everywhere? How could there be enough nurses that shouldn't be working on people who need it? And this is one of the things that I found. So what happens is it gets a feeling of fear, then anxiety, then, you know, what can we trust? What is next? What is happening to our world? Questions about different countries. How are they doing this? How are they doing that? What's happening with the farmland and who's owning so much of it in the U.S.? It's a little bit, confusing. So there's a lot of different things that are happening. And I think that what is important is it's kind of like a relationship. You can't change the other person. You can wish, you can try, you can do whatever you want, but you won't change them. But what you can do is sit them down and say, hey, I just want to let you know what is bothering me and why. And what I would really like is for you to change this and do it this way. You have every right to be you. You have every right to do it your way. However, I get hurt. I feel sad. I feel whatever you feel. And one of the things that I think is the most powerful tool we have is to say, I feel, and I feel hurt. I feel disrespected. I feel uncomfortable, whatever it is. And I really want to feel good with you. So can you help me to feel good with you? And this is what I would need, however you phrase it. But I think that the important part is to first remember when we feel upset, and like you said, writing the letter, everyone has written an email or letter that they're like, oh gosh, you know, trigger happy, hit send, and oh, I wish I could get it back, you know, but you can't. So, you know, there's so many different people out there doing so many different things, and people are just not talking about it. I mean, this is the thing, is why I cannot tell you how many people I've met who are like, oh, I can't wait for your book to come out. And as far as my book, I hope to have it out by Christmas. I hope to get it out a lot sooner, but my goal is Christmas. And I just really want to say that in life, we have so many different things that people have and don't like we have so much different feelings and we don't know what they are. We don't know, oh my gosh, somebody said, you know, in a joking way, let's say, you know, that made no sense. And that reminded me of my ex or my mother or my father or my sister or brother. And then I feel triggered and disrespected. So it's sometimes it's really important if things keep on reoccurring, get a therapist to really sit with you and say, all right, let's try to figure out where it came from. Why? Otherwise, you'll go to therapy every week, a different story, a different problem. You got to get to the core. If you get to the core, you understand where it comes from. You understand why you react the way you do, how it affects the spouse. Then you get a choice. Do I want to do it this way? Do I want to continue doing this? Is this working? If it's working, do it. If it's not working, maybe I should find a different way. People are living in this unconscious place. And you're talking about, you know, this whole thing with the vaccine, should it be, you know, people to see it? I disagree. I think a person has a right to their privacy. I think the problem is people who've been vaccinated and they want to know who's not vaccinated so they can wear their mask or stay away, which is their right. However, they want like the world to know who it is. Well, what are you going to put on them? You know, didn't we do that with the witches, with women and calling them witches? I mean, that's just like, come on. Like, we can't do that because that takes us to a very scary road. You know, if you don't know and you want to be hyper vigilant, I have no problem. Wear a mask, wear five masks if you want. Wear a shield and five masks and wear gloves and do whatever you want. But don't impose that somebody else should tell you. I'm glad you're laughing.
I'm laughing because I have seen that, and I'm like, how are they even breathing?
I know, right?
I'm like, you know, three masks and a shield, and I'm just like, how are they even breathing? It's summertime, they're sweating, and I'm just like, well, how healthy is that? Because we need fresh oxygen and exhalation in order to keep ourselves healthy, our organs healthy, and our immune system and our brain healthy. So it just made no sense to me that, you know, breathing in and breathing out naturally is the healthiest way to go, in my opinion. But that's just my personal opinion. But, you know, so.
Well, I agree with you. And also, I just want to say to you, I found some masks because I've been doing like lots of different research of masks. So one of the things that people don't like is they feel distance without the smile. So there's masks that have plastics. Okay, there's a good one. There's also a full-on plastic mask that you can get that, you know, like a shield. And if you want extra protection, go for it. But this way, you know, some people who have, like, I cannot even imagine people who are suffering with OCD and to have to deal with COVID. It must be the biggest nightmare for the clinics and the hospitals because, I mean, I know people have had OCD and
I do too.
The amount of washing their hands, their amount of fear of losing something, germs is over the top. And so if this is something that maybe it's not as severe of a case, but a milder case, that's okay. If you want to do that, that's so okay because you have a right to your body and to your mind. It's not okay when
and I think, I'm sorry, Joyce, but I think you just said it right there. I just think that's my big thing is that we have an unalienable God-given right to decide for ourselves what we want to ingest or inject into our own bodies and minds. And I think with the government, who aren't even doctors and virologists, including some billionaires who are making $67 million a minute off of this worldwide experiment on humanity, I think that the government should stay out of our personal lives when it comes to making our own decisions, what we want to ingest or inject, especially considering they are not doctors, they are not scientists, they know nothing about masks. And if you look on the internet, even on NIH, CDC, they have no scientific information on masks. And so the masks, from what I read, were intended so that doctors don't spit on patients and cough on patients and sweat on patients while they're doing their surgery. And it also protects the doctor from the patient as well. So it's a twofold thing. And you didn't see doctors in the past wearing a mask 24/7. It was usually for ICU and for patients they were going to operate on. And we've had plenty of flus and over the decades and generations. Mm-hmm. And so I always said, well, if the masks were working, the majority of viruses that plague the third world countries are over in China and the Middle East, where they wear masks 24/7, and they should be virus-free then. So when Dr. Fauci said it's for theatrics and it's to make people feel protected, that said to me, well, I don't have scientific information on it. And then he flip-flopped and he said, oh, yeah, wear two or three in a plastic shield. I mean, I think they confused people so much that it was a really bad situation to confuse people to that point where, okay, we're three, the shield, and then on the other hand, oh, it doesn't do anything for you. So it was very confusing, and it did divide people and made people angry. So when people think about it, you know, and they all calm down eventually, as it all subsides, do you think people will say to themselves, gosh, I'm sorry for behaving so badly or so poorly towards my fellow Americans? Because that really bothers me, Joyce, that we're all fellow Americans and we're so divided over something that we should be having our own personal decision, making our own personal decisions over our own bodies and minds instead of the whole world judging or you know, having, like you said, witch hunts, because it's really scary when you think about in Australia how they were actually taking people away and removing them from their homes and putting them in camps.
It wasn't just Australia, but yes. And, you know, what you're saying, it makes complete sense. But, you know, like I could wish for one of my sisters to say she's sorry. It never happened and she passed away, unfortunately. But the point is, there's certain people who really can do it. And without judging, it's like you want to say, okay, again, going back to like, you know, do they do this on purpose? No. Are they consciously aware of the effect on you? No, because they're in their pain. And you could maybe say ego, but I'm not so sure it's ego. I'm more of from the school of, you know, will the U.S., will the world actually one day say they're sorry? There's a lot of medical challenges that come from these vaccines. Will it ever be an apology? I doubt it, because then they take accountability and then there's lawsuits and blah, blah, blah. But I think that if we could get to a place where we could just say, I choose not to live in fear, whatever they're going to throw at me, I'm going to choose to be aware and do the best I can. Like, without saying which one, I know a lot of people who are jumping to buy, you know, like cyber, you know, money. And so it's not, I don't want to give like one name to it, but it's like, they're living in such fear. Like, oh my God, the banks are going to close. I got to get it. Or I have to buy gold, or I have to. And I said, seriously, like really, let's say that happens. Or like buying tons of seeds, because I don't know if I'm going to have fruits and vegetables. Okay. So how long could that last you? I mean, that might be a good choice. I don't know. It could be a good choice to buy gold and silver. It could be a good choice to buy this, you know, cyber money. It could be. But if you do it from fear, it never is a place that is a good thing. And if your body and your mind and your soul says, I should do this, then listen, because that's, I believe that's how God talks to us. It's through those messages that we go, should I or should I not? And every single time I listen to my gut, which is like, I believe my how God talks to me, it's always right. It's always right. I don't always listen. And it could be just driving down the street. It's like, oh, I feel like I hear it saying, you know, make a right. And I'm like, I need to go to the left. And then it's like, I'm stuck in traffic. And like, oh my goodness, I should have made that right. But, you know, it's like, we're just like, we're living in a world that has made decisions that has so profoundly changed everything. And like, for example, just driving down the street and you see so many people saying they can't get work. Look what's happening at the airports. They fired all these people and none of them want to go back to work. Why? Because they like working from home. When they start dealing with gas and gas prices, parking, mechanics for the car, hey, I could do that at home. I can find other jobs that I can work at home. I don't want to do this anymore. And they're having a hard time finding people to fill the jobs. And there's, you know, again, then we can go back to vaccine issues as well. But the point is that why are people not saying I'm sorry? Just why? Why is it so hard to just say I'm sorry? Like, for example, if you go to Ralph's and you're rude to the cashier or a waiter or something, why not say, hey, look, I'm really sorry. I'm having a bad day. I didn't mean that. You know the difference, because so many times these people who work and they have to deal with so many people and so many people not very nice, especially these days. Then they go home, maybe to a husband, maybe to a wife, kids. Now they feel hurt. And what are they doing? And they don't know what to do with those feelings. And then they take the, and then what happens is you have to take it out on someone else. It's like, I see a lot of couples, they get into an argument, then the wife is rude to the maid and the husband's rude to the gardener. And it's like, you're just not in the right mindset. Why? Because you're just not in a happy place. And if you could say to the spouse, I feel really hurt by what you just said, or sister, brother, friend, and if they're close, give a hug. I could really use a hug. And then they say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to hurt you. Like, boom, it's gone. Now, let's say the person wants to blame you. Say, I want you to say, I'm sorry for, you know, for the way I spoke to you. And they don't think that they spoke something rudely. They can't say that because it would be inauthentic to their soul. But if they said, I'm sorry that you felt hurt. I never wanted to hurt you. I don't think I said it that way, but I totally get that you heard it that way. And for that, I apologize. They don't accept that. That means that's their work. You have to just be authentic.
So when you forgive yourself and you've said, I'm sorry, and maybe you've done something wrong, and you forgive yourself for it, because a lot of people carry things around that they know they did wrong to someone else, and they don't forgive themselves and they don't know how to forgive themselves, but when they take your tools or see a coach or a psychologist such as yourself, do you think that will be the necessary tool of forgiving yourself, admitting and then forgiving yourself in order to love yourself? Because a lot of people do not love themselves, I believe, and that's why they can't love other people.
I think you're totally right, because when you can love yourself, and like if someone's a little bit overweight, love your fat. Like, this is just part of me right now. And I may choose to keep it. I may choose to get rid of it. But I'm loving me the way I am. Then, and that is with your everything, your whole body, your mind and everything, then you can choose other options. You can do things to make your life better. Some people always want to play a musical instrument or write a book, and they never do. And then they regret it. Well, there's always that time. I just wanted to say I'm a psychotherapist, not psychologist.
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. you know, it's like most of the work that I do is on coaching lately, because I'm finding that people just want immediate results. It's not possible to get immediate, but I really do like creating plans for people, and I love plans, because it's like, you know, as you know, as a writer, there's a lot of people who want to do and write and they don't. And like some people say, oh, you must have such great self-esteem to write a book. Well, maybe, or maybe you just so much needed to get it out of you. And it was just, you couldn't do anything else but write it. I mean, there's so many different things, but I think that what I find, if people can get to a place where they say, you know, this little girl inside of me just really feels sad, and I need to just to the little girl inside of me and say, you know, you're safe. This is okay. We're going to help. This adult me is going to help you with this feeling, because many times people do things that people's feelings get hurt, and actually a good portion of the time, the other person has no idea to what extent. And sometimes they don't even think about it. And you're the only one thinking about it. And part of our job, I think, is to be honest with ourselves, say, this bothers me, and not to tell the other person until you're able to say it in a way that's respectful to yourself and to them. And to hear what they have to say, and to really, really hold the bar up. We're going to speak as adults. If we go to a place where there's this tit for tat, the conversation ends until we can come back and have an adult conversation and negotiation. When you do that, you smile more, you live happier, you, like you're saying, you tell jokes, you enjoy life, because guess what? You're free. It's not like I'm doing this to be a people pleaser. I'm not doing this to be nice. I'm being real and thoughtful and respectful. And when a person is going through, let's say, doubt, which is a lot of doubt in the world right now, and low self-esteem, I think it's, there's a lot of 12-step programs out there. I don't know if they're still doing it online. They did a lot online with COVID, and a lot of places continue to do it online. So for like, there's Codependence Anonymous. There's a whole bunch of different ones. There's a lot of different ones that are coming out every day. And this is something you get a group of people, you get support, you can work on you. You could build your self-esteem, and you might meet a friend or two.
Well, ideally, I think you said something really important, Joyce. I think you said, you know, basically all this fear and negativity and listening to all that outside noise and letting it cause you to be fearful, which stifles people in moving forward with whatever they're doing, makes them a prisoner of their own mind. And you said you will feel free. And I believe exactly what you said is that if you can overcome those fears and not listen to all that negativity and say, you said, you know, do your own thing, basically, that you will free yourself from being a prisoner of your own mind. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, there was a time in my life that I was like, you know, I just knew what I wanted. I like just, you know, boom, boom, boom. And then lots of things happened and it was quite challenging. And I can't tell you when exactly, but there was a moment when I said, wow, I've heard this somewhere and I don't know where, but I really believe that God listen, whatever God or higher, you know, being you believe in, or if you don't, but I do believe this, what you focus most on is what the universe or God gives you. So if someone is focusing on, I'm, you know, being hurt by my spouse, or I'm, you know, not appreciated or loved, you'll get more of it. When you start appreciating yourself, saying, I am awesome, I'm a wonderful human being, you will get to a better place. And what happened to me, and I, like I said, I can't tell you when, I started to be conscious of my unconscious messages. And once I heard a few of them, like you can't do this, or you won't get it done in time, and I started self-doubting myself, oh, I took a big breath and I just said, stop it. And I just was like, stop it. Every time I heard it, stop it. It really like banished it. And I was able to get on with what I needed to do. What I wasn't aware of previously was how many times a day that was happening. Do you know what I mean?
I do.
And that's
because
the thing.
Nobody has a perfect life. Things go smooth for a while and then boom, something sideswipes you.
Always.
And then that throws us off track. And then sometimes it's so horrendous that, yes, I understand the problems are so horrific that you start doubting yourself and maybe, you know, da-da-da-da-da. And exactly, it takes that moment when you say, wait a minute here, you know, I think I can do this. I think I am a good person. I think, you know, that, and God will help me if I help myself. I truly agree with you. And unfortunately, we've run out of time. When I talk to you, I could talk to you forever. Joyce,
here.
It has been such a pleasure to speak to you again, Joyce Alexander Black. Please let our audience know how they can get in touch with you, if you have a website, any books, anything you want them to know about.
Oh, well, thank you, Rose. I have my what used to be called CDs, records, now on iTunes and or downloads. Just put my name, Joyce Alexander Black, M.A., for masters, and or if you just put Joyce Alexander Black, you'll find it, and my website, joycealexanderblack.com. Make it simple, and that should have my email on there, anything you need. So before I leave, I just want to say to anyone out there who is going through a lot, there is people out there. Please call doctor, hospital, whatever. Don't feel alone. You don't have to be. There's also 12-step groups. There's a lot of places that you can go and not feel alone, because this world is really a lot of love. It's just that sometimes it's really hard to understand how to get there when you're suffering, or when you don't understand, you feel mistreated or something like that. Just remember, there's some really great people. And I highly recommend you listen to Rose's show, because she's awesome. I love her.
Thank you so much, Joyce Alexander Black, and God bless you, and keep up the good work, and we'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you. God bless you too. Bye-bye.
And Joyce Alexander Black has left the building. Look her up online, and you can get in touch with her. And I want you to not be concerned about not being able to de-stress, because you have an opportunity to read my latest book. And it is a political satire with some humor in it, and also will awaken you to, will the world of humanity survive? And, of course, we all think positive, right? Will Professor Noah find the key to saving humanity?
Obamasaurus, the new book by Rose M. Colombo, is an updated version of a political satire that reflects the political roadmap of today's world, written with an Orwellian twist. Will humanity survive or suffer depopulation or extinction? Obamasaurus by Rose M. Colombo, available at Amazon.com.
Well, my friends, time flies, and now is the time to say goodbye. Thanks so much for being part of the Colombo Chronicles family. You are appreciated. Please do it now. Bookmark. Push that like, share, and follow button. Oh, and don't forget to comment below and stay in touch. Make your family part of the Colombo family. Until next Wednesday at noon, remember, God loves you, and so does the Rose.